Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Runcast. Looking around this week, kind of state of affairs, and kind of in a pretty good mood, I got to tell you. It's everywhere I look, I see really good things happening in our sport, and it's kind of all over the map. Just in a kind of 4 or 5 day span, these are some of the things that put a smile on my face when it comes to our community and some of the neat running things or exercising things I'm going on. I ran into Kathy Thomas, who's a legendary PE teacher over at Baker Butler. And it reminded me, I saw Sherry Witt and Scott Williams this week, also their PE teachers. And I'm reminded about how we're fortunate to have folks like them and Kathy Tiller Hughes, Gwen Hairston, teaching our elementary school kids about exercise and them being exercisers themselves and a whole new generation of PE teachers. Saw Jane Miller out running in the cold the other day, assistant AD. She's doing her mileage, getting her mileage in. And always nice to feel like we have someone inside the big house over there at the U-Haul that's loves the sport and gets it, understands the value of running. And her and folks like Keith Vanderbeek and some of the staff over there, year-round runners, good to see her out there in the cold trotting along. Although she did stop, and I stopped to chat with her, and she gave me grief about my Virginia Tech decal on my rear view, on the back of my minivan. I forgot it's on there. My son's a senior. I remind her I had two kids that went to UVA and didn't make any difference. She goes, clear that car out of this parking lot right now. Always had a good sense of humor, always does. Larry Barnett, 91 years old, God bless him. Still getting his walks in every week, and I got a chance to visit with him this past week. And Dr. Teresa Sullivan, at the helm at UVA, our first female president at Virginia. They recently announced that, of course, she loves to walk, that part of her inauguration is going to be a Volks March on that Sunday of inauguration weekend, which is coming up in April. I think it's April 17th. And it's a community-wide, campus-wide, I used the C word. They hate that word, campus, grounds-wise. But anyway, she's going to have everyone out walking this Volks March. Very cool. Saw the Schneller family, Tim and Christine and their kids out running at the 10-miler training program on Saturday. Carolyn, who was the top scorer for Western at senior night. They're undefeated in the district in basketball. How many basketball girls or boys in the Jefferson District can say they ran 9 miles the previous Saturday? Neat to see that. The other morning I was running in town with some friends. I fell behind and then saw another person on the other side of the street and recognized the silhouette and the gate mechanics and said, I'll try and catch up and run with her, get some company. Had a hard time running her down. She's 7 years my senior, 62-year-old Maria Bell, and it reminded me about how fit so many of our quote-unquote old folk like ourselves like myself, I'm not so fit, but I'm getting old, it's nice to see. The Liz Blaine, I talked to her on the phone the other day. She's pretty much the mountaintop's fastest walker. What am I talking about? She works up at Monticello, and she's just one fast walker. And she's all jazzed up. We got chatting about the Monte Alto Challenge in May, which is a foot race and a walk to the top of Monte Alto, and just nice to see again. Talking about the sport here in the middle of the winter and getting excited about it. Susan and Steve Nelson, couple, I always see them running together. Saturday morning, saw them training for the 10-mile running down Main Street. Just really, really good stuff. Ann Hughes and her daughter Fiona training for the 10-miler. Saw them after their longest run of their life, 9 miles on Saturday. They were ecstatic, and a mother and daughter sharing, some really neat moments together. Again, I'm reminded about how much fun this sport can be. Professor Ed Burton, who a lot of people know, he's an econ prof over at UVA. Saw him doing his laps the other day up on the UVA track, trucking along. And just God bless him. He's out there getting his exercise. He's a big, sound mind, sound body, sound mind type of guy. He feels like it makes him that much better on his feet as an instructor. I could go on and on. Just a wonderful, wonderful running community. And here in the dead of winter, there's still a lot of exciting things going on. So in the books, what happened over the weekend or in the past few days, and start with the university, some pretty neat stuff down at Virginia Tech again. And I keep mentioning Virginia Tech is a place that they the university competes, it's because Virginia Tech has got a wonderful indoor facility. And, of course, it's close by, and they put on these big meets throughout the winter. Catherine White, the great runner from Roanoke, who transferred into UVA last year. She's had been out in the sidelines during cross country, injured. She's back, just steaming along, 442 mile. It's number six all-time on the UVA list. Emil Heinken was 404 in the mile. He's number six all-time. And Kevin Anding, 47.59. Pretty smoking time indoors. This is still relatively early in the season. Number two all-time wow. UVA indoors. So, I mean, you know, Jason just continues to, and his great staff continue to pump him out. Men's distance medley relay won by 18 seconds.
You know, wow.
That's like almost a full lap indoors, just blowing these guys away. And Anthony Kostelec, one of the Fab Four, an Almar grad, 148.6 split. So going to give Robbie Andrews some good company this spring. It's nice to have some, I mean, just the stable is absolutely full over there. But the big story of the week, and on the Scholastic side, was the Almar High School. They had their district meet. Of course, they're AAA, so they're a little bit out of sync with most of other schools here. They had theirs early in the week on Monday. Buzz Mayles' gang, they tore it up. Their girls were second in the district, and Maggie Tubridy was first in the triple jump. Summer Shepherd first in the pole vault. And on the boys' side, the big story. And I got to tell you, Mike, I cannot overhype this enough. Anybody thinks that I'm overhyping it, they don't know the sport well enough. If they think that I'm getting a little too excited about this, Ryan Thomas, we talked a few weeks ago, 434, he opened up,
right.
freshman,
That's
football
right.
player. Little, you know, Zach Vahovec type
sure.
Mold. So he runs 434, he's number one in the nation. He drops about number three in the nation because some other kids eke out to run in 432s, 433s. So he's dropped to number three or four, whatever. 426. Okay, now let me put that in perspective. 426
yeah.
is now number one by far. He's the fastest freshman in the United States in the mile. 426. Most boys dream of running 426 before they get out of high school. Most boys do not. Alan Webb, let's do a little name dropping here. Fastest miler of all time out of high school. First guy to break the four-minute mile since Johnson was in the White House. He did it a few years back. He's Nike's premier golden boy, Olympian. He broke Jim Ryan's records, high school records. What do you think his time was as a freshman? He was a Virginia kid. He ran South Lakes, Virginia high school. 4:23. When did he run that? Outdoors. Big difference between indoors and outdoors, because indoors you got to run those tight curves. You got to run 12 laps or 10 laps to the mile. Four laps outdoors.
Right.
So where are we going with this? So the question is, can he handle silly people like me hyping him up? Can he handle all that pressure, all the expectations? I say yes. Alec, my son, is one of the coaches over there. He said, Dad, he said to me afterwards, he goes, Alan Webb's time, 4:23. That's be kind of a cool goal. You know?
Absolutely.
So good for him.
So he shed 8 seconds.
8 seconds.
In a month then?
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks. And, I mean, think about it. You know, if I went out and ran a mile this week, which I haven't run in years, all out, mm-hmm. I might take 8 seconds off it. But that's going from slow, really slow, to kind of slow.
Right.
But you take someone on a track team, and they go, at 4:34... It's, okay, Alec, my son, brag about him a little bit, but I'll give you a perspective. He's the one that helps me, by the way, compile a lot of this stuff. He runs his final time, high school, 4:23, his best time.
Best time.
Good miler. Put him number three or four or five all time at Western Almaral's list at the time. He barely broke 5 minutes his freshman year. In fact, most boys, that's kind of their first big, you know, getting the first base, you know, get a girlfriend, kiss her. It's a big deal.
Right.
Sub-5 minute mile. Big deal. Right. Girls are trying to get below six their freshman year. This guy is 4:26. And we've had some great, great milers run on the ovals in this town over the last four decades. This guy's the best.
I mean,
it's hard not to get too excited. And someone might say, you're putting a lot of pressure on the kid. I say, you should get to know the kid. He loves it. He's into it. And what am I going to say? Oh, no, that's not a good time.
Oh, right.
You're okay. You're peaked. I mean, come on. Celebrate it. We're excited for him.
When people talk to him, does he say how? I mean, 8 seconds is a lot of time in that 2 week span. Does he talk about something he did differently, or why all of a sudden
he's got
the groove?
Several good things going. He's genetic. You know, the wiring's good.
Yeah,
he's got good parents. They haven't pushed it too much over the years. They've teased him a little bit with it, wet his whistle over the years, but they didn't train the kid, beat him into the ground. Okay,
right.
He's got a good coach, one of the best in Virginia, Buzz Mayles. He's got my son running with him
sure.
during the week. That's pretty good company.
Yeah,
Alec
awesome.
Tends to say more of the right things than I ever have said in my life. He tends to choose his words a little more wisely than his father does. So you put all that together, and great support at the school, tradition, Chase and Anthony Kostelak, Zach Verhoeve. Hey, you know, it's all good stuff.
Yeah, like you said, it'll be exciting to see in three years from
now. We're really excited. Mm-hmm. Keeping on the Albemarle vein, Rick Kwiatkowski, a father of three, finished. This is really impressive stuff. The Rocky Raccoon 100 miler, Mike. 100 miles. It was five. We just talked about four laps. This is five. There's a 4 quarter-mile laps outdoors.
Okay.
This is 5 20-mile laps. And they're laps through the woods and over hill and dale.
Right.
Started at 6 in the morning, finished at 11:37 in the evening. Finished 14th out of 316.
Wow.
Pretty good stuff. 17 and a half hours, 10 minutes and 30 seconds a mile. Pretty doggone good for a guy who's 45 years old, for a guy, period, for anyone.
Oh, sure. I mean,
cool thing, 5 miles out, his wife picks him up. She's a marathoner. I have the pleasure of coaching both these guys on and off throughout the year. Really enjoy it. She picks him up at 5 miles, and she's faster than her, but 10:30 pace, she can definitely handle that. She's a sub-4-hour marathoner, which is about 9 minutes a mile, so she can handle it. She's running with him. She's telling me this story on the phone last night. She gets 100 yards from the finish, and he's fishing around in his pocket, and she says, what's he doing? He should be, cruising now. It's, finish line, 17 and a half hours. Come on. Pulls out this little little velvet pouch with a string around it. Opens it up, and she's stumbling with his fingers. She's like, come on, honey, let's get going. Right at the finish line, before they cross the finish line, he gets down on his knee and says, happy anniversary. He pulls out this really nice ring, 23 years of marriage.
My God.
Everyone went nuts. Of course, everyone thought he was proposing to her.
Right.
He says,
That's unbelievable.
No. So Lisa was really flattered. He's a pretty special guy, pretty special stuff. Live and learn department, we've really got some folks getting it right here over the last few weeks. I'm really impressed with. This is going to sound like we're getting off track here, but Mike Gaffney, Jim Ryan, two guys that I work with as far as helping them with their running, are very talented runners, were taking ski trips, and they knew to call their coach ahead of time and say, listen, we're going out to Colorado, going out to Utah, whatever, going to ski for 4 or 5 days. What do I do with my running? What do I do with my running during the skiing trip? What do I do with my running afterwards? Huge hiccup that occurs every winter. The ski guys that are trying to do a little skiing and running, both these guys are training for the Boston Marathon. My advice to them was, don't run while you're out there. Skiing's one heck of a sport. There's sun up to sundown skiers. This is not, a little ski club going in the evening. It's big mountains, we're talking, out west. And it's a lot of dehydration, a lot of working hard. That's good enough. Just do the doggone skiing. Then when you come home, take about 2 or 3 days to ease back into your running. That works every time. People that don't heed this, quite often, they try and squeeze their runs in. It's a bit of a hassle on everybody around you, trying to fit it in the middle of your skiing. You come home, you're exhausted, double exhausted. Go back in your training, stress fracture, some kind of knee injury, whatever. You're out for the season. So I think communicating with an expert, communicating with a coach in life, communicating with a friend, getting that outside source so often. Jessica Spears, Jenny Jorvik, two other folks. Little knee tweaks the last few weeks. What do I do, coach? What, do this, get in the pool, do some running in the pool, back off, watch that, ice it, take it easy, get on flat surface, boom, injuries tend to disappear.
And I think that's so important to, as you mentioned, go to somebody else. And as you mentioned before, listen to your body, because when your leg's talking to you, there's a reason. It's not just doing it to do it.
Running is the ultimate, I'm biased, but you talk to any exercise physiologist, bang for buck, meaning what you're getting per minute, what you're getting out of the exercise cardio-wise, calorie burn, all of that great stuff. It's not going to make you necessarily a great basketball shooter.
Right.
But cardio-wise, you want to get a great workout, weight loss, all that stuff. Running's awesome, the most efficient. Okay, anything that good is also probably going to punish you when life goes astray a little bit and you try and push through it. It is not a sport that you want to, ignore those signals. It will definitely reward you with an injury and, really punish you with an injury. Training tip of the week. I'm getting a lot of folks that are coming in talking to me about little tweaks here and there, and I'm reeling it back, unwinding as I talk to them, unraveling the mystery to running down hills too quickly. One of the great evil temptresses of Schultzville are hills. we like to piss and moan about the uphills. But I always tease people, just go in the opposite direction. It's a downhill. So every uphill in town is actually a downhill. So we have as many downhills as uphills in Charlottesville. And any good doctor, any running doctor, something like a Dr. Wilder will tell you, the downhills are really what will smack you. So why does it end up smacking us? Because we feel good going down, and we open up our stride, pick up the pace, cruise down, and boom, 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 hit our heels too hard, hit the balls of our feet too hard, whatever. You got to do that enough times, you're going to get in trouble. So in a race, yes, you can do this. But you only race once every whatever, 4 or 5 weeks, every 3 or 4 months, whatever. You're getting ready for the 10-miler. Shorten your stride in your training when you hit a downhill. And perception of effort is going to feel good going down, but don't try picking it up. Just let the hill take you down, but don't open it up and say, you know, I need to fly into this hill. It'll really come back to bite you. So be really cautious, everyone, with your downhill running. It's tempting. I know all my preaching here, I made all these mistakes myself over the years. Learn from my mistakes, you know, be careful.
I'm almost interested now while we're on the topic of hills. Any uphill advice that you would give?
Yeah, people? I mean, you know, uphill, it's just perception of effort. What the big mistake people make is trying to hit the bottom hill and say, okay, I need to pick up the pace. Perception of effort, it's an interesting term. It's a hard one to grasp. Is how do you feel? If you're laboring to get up that hill, and you're looking at your watch and say, okay, my Garmin's, I've got to hit this at 10-minute pace. Okay, got to work hard. Okay, 10-minute pace. Okay, I'm still at 10-minute. Good. A 10:30 pace going up a hill is a perception of effort. That's probably more like a 10-minute mile on a flat surface. So throw out the watch and listen to your breathing. Shorten your stride, lean in, use your arms. And this is where the sit-ups and core work, you do any work at the gyms around town. If you're a runner, the best form of cross-training is not necessarily swimming. If you're trying to run a long-distance race or getting on a stationary bike, get into one of those good ball core classes that they offer at a lot of the clubs around town. Fantastic stuff. You don't belong to a club? Hello. Do the retro man stuff like I do. Get on your back at home and do some sit-ups. You know, good stuff for that gut, and that helps you with your uphills. And do some hill work throughout the week. I recommend 15, 20-second surges once or twice a week to a lot of my athletes. In that case, you can go up them quickly and give your body a little more perspective there. Just giving back department. Was over meeting with the folks at the Virginia Institute of Autism last night, kicking off, kind of firing up the parents and the faculty about the Run for Autism coming up in April. It's our second largest fundraiser in Charlottesville for over 80 foot races. Kind of the Run for Autism 5K. Come on, it's not the 10 miler. It's not this. It's not that. Although 10 miler raised a lot of money. The Martha Jefferson 8K raised a lot of money. But this baby, $55,000 last year, cleared to go back to this wonderful organization, the Virginia Institute of Autism. And chatting with the folks about it, getting them fired up, I got realizing that the executive director there is a marathon runner himself, and I started thinking about all the folks in Charlottesville that run these not-for-profits. And you might know from working at the station here that a lot of wonderful not-for-profits in our community. I just made a quick list of runners, marathoners, half-marathoners, Pat Smith over at OAR, Erica Vicelio at the Free Clinic. She was executive director. Just did a half marathon this fall. Robert Johnson, who runs Region 10, great runner, good long-distance runner. And then we talked about the mountaintop. Leslie Bowman, who's the current head of Monticello, she's a runner herself, stays really fit by getting on. So pretty cool stuff. Volunteer of the Week this week, I just call out to Dave Murphy. Been a Charlottesville Track Club member since the mid-70s. Directed the 10-miler for 12 years. Endlessly giving back to the sport. Very caring guy. He runs the equipment shed for the track club, meaning that every race, a not-for-profit race in Charlottesville, it needs equipment. He meets him up there at Berkmar Drive, opens the shed up, signs the stuff out, gives people tips on the stuff, meets him back there after the race afterwards. He helps at countless races. He's great with the what we call a timing machine. He's the guy when there's not chip timing, there's a human timing. It's right. Dave Murphy a lot of times punching that button as you come across the finish line. Father of two and just a wonderful, wonderful guy, and a call out to him. Just went with his two daughters down to Bermuda and ran a race down there over the holidays. Coach of the Week, Kate Pugh, Western Albemarle product. She was Katie Reddick. When I first met her, she was in eighth grade, and she excellent runner in high school, and ended up giving back to her alma mater by coming back and coaching. She's been out there about 5 or 6 years now. Fantastic, and what a successful program. Runopedia, like a Wikipedia, trying to little play in words, running terms, negative splits. We talk about it so often. People say, you know, they've been running for a while. They've been embarrassed to ask really what it means. What's this negative splits? Well, of course, a split is an interval of time between two points. So, you know, if you're running on the track, you're split to run. If I said to you, Mike, do 10 quarters today and do them in 5K pace and take a 200 jog in between, your splits would be the time you ran for those quarters, each one individually. Mm-hmm. And the term negative splits means progressively getting quicker with each split. Now, take that out to a distance event like the 10-miler. Means your first 2 or 3 miles should be the slowest of the day, your middle 3 or 4 picking up, and your last 3 or 4 faster.
Right.
You don't save yourself to sprint for the last quarter mile, but a good veteran distance runner, their second half of their race is always faster than their first. And this gets more and more true the longer the distance, because physiologists feel really strongly that you don't want to burn gas prematurely. So if you're shooting in a marathon for 10-minute pace and you run the first 3 or 4 miles at 9:30, come back with a classic line, well, I felt good. Well, of course, everybody feels good at the beginning of a 26-mile event. The question is, can you handle running that at the end? And, of course, if you go out fast in your pace, you're going to end up running really slow at the end. The irony is that you could, if you went out slower, so that you take that 9:30 pace that person ran at the beginning, and at the end they're running 11 and 12-minute pace. If they go out at 11-minute pace, they probably could run 9-minute pace, not 9:30, over the last several miles. So,
and I'm sure as there's more veteran runners and they learn how to, because everybody at the start of the race has the adrenaline flowing, everybody's excited, everybody's all together, is somehow more of a veteran bottling that and using that to their advantage later on, and not just going and you lose it.
It's the ultimate pat on the back to you from a coach or for your own personal satisfaction. You've arrived as a real, not just long-distance racer, but as a runner. Even your runs when you go out the door, you should run negative splits. All your run out the door, recreational runners, you just said you ran 4.1 this morning. Mm-hmm. Hopefully your first mile was your slowest and your last two were your fastest. Gives your body a chance to warm up properly. The most natural way to stretch, of course, is to warm up with your run being slow at the beginning. Some great folks in town with this are Kenny Ball, antique salesman over at Ivy Square. He's one of the best negative splits marathoners in town. Louise Knudsen, nurse over at UVA. She's the fastest marathoner in Charlottesville. Well, no genius to figure out why she does it, why she feels so good over the last 10 miles. She runs the first half slower than the second. So Heidi Johnson, another one, very good negative splitter. Good stuff. All right. Let's see. We've got our running trivia, historical trivia running question, kind of keeping people tied into, you know, what's gone on in this community over the last 30, 40 years in the sport of running. Last week we asked the question and we got it correctly answered. Steve Kosciusko answered it correctly. Who was, yes, little clap, and it is a little clap, because I gather these answers, you can find them online somewhere. I've come to find, I keep forgetting that this 55-year-old Smithsonian-bound guy,
the Google,
it doesn't
things.
Realize that the stinking answers are to be found everywhere. All right, well, try and find this answer to this one. All right, you guys, because I'm getting a little more creative this week. Who was the first mayor of Charlottesville that was a marathoner also? And the first true running mayor of Charlottesville, and he was a marathoner. Ha, go find that one. That one, you'll have to actually know. You can't Google it necessarily, though. Maybe even that, I guess you could Google all the past mayors of Charlottesville, get their bios, do a little stalking, and you can figure it out. But anyway, that's for next week. Steve, good job, even though you did cheat. No, he's a good guy. You get a free Ragamountain shirt. Okay, so round in the bend here. In the starting blocks, of course, we got the Valentine's Run this weekend. It's a partners event. You do not have to find a partner, but you will be partnered up with someone. And then we explicitly say you do not have to run with that person. Cynthia and I used to do this race every year. We did husband and wife. No, we did not run together because Cynthia doesn't run with Mark. She's a lot faster. Mark can't keep up with Cynthia. So, but they would put our times together. And some years we'd win husband and wife. That was cool. But as our sad sack husband got slower and slower, we would get beaten out by other couples, which was rightfully so.
I will see you there this weekend.
Okay, good. Mike's going to be there. And if you don't have a partner, they will fix you up with someone. But of course, you
I got one. Yeah,
you do.
Yeah,
got a good partner.
Trouble.
Yeah, that's good. There. Yeah. Just some quick tips. This is out at Old Trail. You meet out at the golf clubhouse there. Wonderful, those folks out in Crozet, Old Trail, to open their facility. All the dollars benefit Amnesty International. Charlottesville Track Club, of course, hosts it with the Amnesty folks. Carol Finch does a great job, and that starts at 8 o'clock. And that's a great place, you 10-miler folks, to practice your negative split behavior. If you run the first mile too quickly, even at 5K, you'll pay for it later. Okay, it's only 5K. You made a mistake. Store it away and say, I don't want that to happen for a 10-mile event. Kids track clinic and track meet next, 2 weeks from this Saturday. That's the 26th. It's 8:30 in the morning. Kids 4 to 12-year-olds at the UVA track. It's free. I'll be helping with that. Speaking of the 10-miler, it's 45 days. As you and I are recording this, so by the time people listen to this, it'll be 44, 43, whatever. 45 days to the granddaddy of them all, our most prestigious foot race, the Charlottesville 10-miler. Jefferson Districts are at FUMA tonight. That's Wednesday night. This will be in the books by the time you guys listen to this broadcast. Go to milestat.com for the best results of any high school running in the state of Virginia. Milestat, M-I-L-E-S-T-A-T, milestat.com. This weekend, the UVA distance folks are at the Husky Classic of all places out at the University of Washington. Big prestigious meet, kind of a long plane trip. Good for them. Some of the RMR guys are going to be up in Boston competing, and then some of the UVA team are going to be up at the Armory, Mike, up in New York City. Very cool. And runners of the week, I'm sorry to say it once again, Ryan Thomas. I mean, I can't ignore it. 426 mile. I mean, he's the fastest miler in the area right now, and he's a freshman. Fastest guy in the country as a freshman. And then got to give the nod to Rick Witowski for finishing a 100-mile race. All right, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed this. I sure have. And we'll talk to you next week. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop. So